We are back with hour two.
Oh, you can hear
Joe's
me?
I can hear you fine. We're going to be coming back with this second hour talking about the specifics of impeachment, because obviously what the left is doing is horrible. It's terrible. But from a legal basis, they don't really have a leg to stand on, which is the same thing that they had happen last year with impeachment. They were making it up as they went along. First, they said that it was bribery. Then they said that Trump was like conspiring with a foreign power. Then they said abuse of power, which isn't actually a crime. They were just making it up as they went along. And we're seeing that happen again here with the Democrats. So we're going to be spending this hour talking about the legal and constitutional arguments behind impeachment. There aren't any. And how ridiculous it is that they're making up a crime again to try and punish Trump. Joe, did you have a chance to read any of the impeachment articles that they came out with?
I did not. I mean, I'm not kidding. I've been working on this IPO idea and bringing people together so we can have a lot of really smart people to make it happen very quickly. So I just want everybody to know that we're going to try and get this all done in the next 30 days, right? I was very serious. And I know that I woke up this morning very excited about this. I didn't get a chance yet because I do think that it's hyperbole and a bunch of lies. It's everything that the left represents, and that is how do we divide and persecute and hurt good people, right? That's what they want to do. They want to hurt good people, because if they hurt good people, then they can hurt the good people that are helping people that need help, right? And that's what they want to do. They want to see people suffer so they can control them.
So we're going to read these articles briefly. It's just two pages. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. This is the new resolution introduced by Congressman Cicilline. Impeachment. Resolved that Donald John Trump, President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. Yada, yada, yada. We don't have to read that part. That's just basically saying that he's president. Article 1, incitement of insurrection. The Constitution provides that the House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment and that the president shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Further, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution prohibits any person who has engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States from holding any office under the United States. In his conduct while president of the United States and in violation of his constitutional oath faithfully to execute the office of the president of the United States and to the best of his ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, Donald John Trump engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors by inciting violence against the government of the United States in that. And then they say, on January 6th, we can go to the next one. I'm going to skim it. Joint session of Congress to count the votes of the Electoral College. In the months preceding the joint session, President Trump repeatedly issued false statements asserting that the presidential election results were the product of widespread fraud and should not be accepted by the American people or certified by the state and federal officials. Shortly before the joint session commenced, President Trump addressed a crowd at the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. There, he reiterated false claims that we won this election and we won it by a landslide. He also willfully made statements that in context encouraged and foreseeably resulted in lawless action at the Capitol, such as, if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. Thus incited by President Trump, members of the crowd he had addressed in an attempt to, among other objectives, interfere with the joint session's solemn constitutional duty to certify the results of the 2020 presidential election, unlawfully breached and vandalized the Capitol, injured and killed law enforcement personnel, menaced members of Congress, the vice president, and congressional personnel, and engaged in other violent, deadly, destructive, and seditious acts. So then they go on and they complain that he called Georgia.
You can't actually say and engaged in other violent, deadly, destructive, and seditious acts. You actually can't say that. I mean, this is how stupid they are. They actually have to point out everything that they said he did, right? That's why this is a propaganda machine. This is all propaganda. Yeah. And by the way, the other part of this deal is the police officer did not die in that deal. He didn't. He did not die in it. He did not die because as a result of, the protest.
No, we cannot say that. We will get taken down.
You got to be kidding me.
The news has already said that that's how it happened.
This is what I'm talking about. The media and the big tech, they literally are the balance of power.
Yeah. We cannot tell you that he got into a scuffle at the protest, went back to the precinct and then dropped there. We can't say that. The media has determined that they are directly correlated. The media has already done the investigation for the homicide detectives, so we cannot make any other claims. We cannot tell you that it might have been a pre-existing condition. We can't tell you that. Not allowed to. And we are not telling you that it might have been a pre-existing condition. Can't do it. Well, let's put it up, because you say that they have to put my screen back up. You say they have to say specific things. This is the only specific thing they actually say. They mention the call with Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, where Trump told him, quote, to find enough votes to overturn the presidential election results, and threatened Secretary Raffensperger if he failed to do so. And all this, President Trump gravely endangered the security of the United States and its institutions of government. He threatened the integrity of the democratic system, interfered with the peaceful transition of power, and imperiled a co-equal branch of government. He thereby betrayed his trust as president and to manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, Donald John Trump, by such conduct, has demonstrated that he will remain a threat to national security, important democracy, and the Constitution if he allowed to remain in office, and has acted in a manner grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law. Donald John Trump thus warrants impeachment and trial, removal from office, pay attention, this is the big one, and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. Read that last page to get to that last statement, because it's an important one. The way the schedule is actually working, if they do impeach him in the House, the Senate won't be able to hold a conviction vote until just before Inauguration Day or just after. So to say that he must be removed from office immediately, no impeachment will actually succeed in doing that.
Right.
Because the calendar just won't work out that way.
Right.
Chances are they will convict him after he's already gone. And the reason for that is because they want to make sure he can never run again. That he can never run again. Mr. Producer, put up my screen again. I'd love for someone to tell me this. Democrats claim an 81 million vote victory, but are so afraid of Trump that they'll impeach him so he can't run again? Like, I would have loved Hillary Clinton to run again. Send her at me, right? If Donald Trump had ran against Hillary Clinton, it would have been a bloodbath. How can you say we just demolish this guy and at the same time be fearful of the prospect of him potentially running again? You cannot square the circle. You just can't. It is incompatible. Joe, why do you think they're so terrified of Donald Trump running again? And this is the Democrats. Republicans have their own reason. Why do you think Democrats are so afraid?
Because no matter what happens with the white noise that we're seeing right now, we have teams that are focused on truth. And all of the proof that we've come out on, all the proof, that's why they don't want Parler out. All the truth that we've been able to uncover related to the election, all the truth, fact.
We can't just.
I said truth and fact.
No, be careful.
I didn't say
careful.
Anything but truth and fact. Based on those two things, they know that no matter what, they can't suppress it for long. They suppress it, get Biden into the presidency, right? And they take over the House and the Senate and they try to do their damage. There's going to be, and it's already happening, there's going to be states that stand up. There's going to be investigations. There's going to be secession talks. It's going to happen, right? You're going to have it happen. It's already happening, right? And you're going to have that truth come out. And then the American people are literally going to say, we reject this. We reject it. We know we represent 75 to 80%. And I'm not even talking about the people that are classical liberals that frankly have a really good head on their shoulders that are thinking to themselves, oh my gosh, I mean, the Jewish community is going nuts right now. You want to know why? Because they're looking at it going, hey, listen, whether you voted for Biden or you voted for President Trump, it doesn't matter. They're looking at it going, we know what this looked like before.
Yeah.
Look, and I'm partially Jewish. When you come through this whole process, they know what it looked like. They know what the 1930s, they do not forget. They know that relatives were killed in concentration camps and gassed in chambers. They know that happened. So they're looking at this and they're like, we've seen this history before. We're next, yeah. Right? So
it's crazy because there are people in the comment sections on YouTube, Facebook, and also, again, we are live on DLive now, so make sure you check us out there, questioning whether it's possible to impeach someone after they leave office. The Constitution is vague on that. The Constitution doesn't actually make a claim one way or another. And what's interesting is the Constitution, yes, it tells the government what it's allowed to do, but it gives the Senate the power to convict. Nothing in the Constitution says the Senate can only convict someone if they currently hold the office. So it's a weird argument. It's uncharted territory, but there's no real reason to look at the case law and look at precedent and say that they can't impeach and remove him after, well, they can't remove him once he's gone, but convict him once he's actually gone. The Constitution's silent on that issue. So we're going to do a deep dive into Supreme Court precedent, because it's important to talk about, because this claim that they're making that Donald Trump incited violence, that he incited a riot, it just isn't true. It isn't true in any way, shape, or form. I want to put up, Mr. Producer, image number 7. This is the Washington, D.C. law on the books for inciting a riot. Image number 7, Mr. Producer. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there. Go look now. I'll read it. Section 22-1322, rioting or inciting to riot. Actually, you know what? Put up my screen. It's right here. Don't worry about it. Put up my screen and we can just do it that way. Section 22-1322, rioting or inciting to riot. Section A, a riot in the District of Columbia is a public disturbance involving an assemblage of 5 or more persons by which tumultuous and violent conduct or the threat thereof creates grave danger or of damage or injury to property or persons. B, whoever willfully engages in a riot in the District of Columbia shall be punished by imprisonment for not more than 180 days or a fine of not more than amount set forth. This is the one that's actually they're trying to get him with. C, whoever willfully incites or urges other persons to engage in a riot shall be punished by imprisonment for not more than 180 days or a fine of not more than the amount set forth. So that's what they're claiming. Section 22-1322, subsection C. Joe, do you think that they have any case against him?
No. 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 I mean, how do you? You want to read it one more time? you want to go through the basic principles of just, you have to have a factual basis for them. You just can't make stuff up. And see, the left makes stuff up and they just hope that it sticks. They make it up. They make up stuff in media. And what is really, really sick, is the hold that they're trying to have on the American people and the fear that they have on people that are speaking up. It's fear, right? It is amazing. It is amazing to just think about how absurd this is and how there are people out there. There are actually millions of people in this country, not tens of millions, but millions, probably 3-4 million people that actually believe this stuff. They believe this stuff.
And
I want you to know that the sociopathy represents about 9.5 to 10% of our society. So 40 million people might actually believe it because sociopathy is that big of a deal. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I want to go through 4 cases, specific cases that deal with the First Amendment, because that language, Mr. Producer, go ahead, put up my screen again. Willfully incites or urges other person to engage in a riot. That language has specific constitutional limitations. The Supreme Court over the last century has determined what can and cannot be used to fit that definition. That the states can't just say anything counts as inciting a riot. Only certain things can be applied to this statute. So, Mr. Producer, I want you to go ahead and put up image number 4. This is a Supreme Court case, Schenck v. United States. And we can leave this up for a little bit. I'll tell you what this case was all about. Charles Schenck was a board member of the Socialist Party of Philadelphia.
And pay attention to that, Socialist Party.
Yeah, a lot of these First Amendment cases deal with very, very bad individuals, leftists, KKK members, right? KKK leaders, very, very bad hombres, to take President Trump's terms. But the Supreme Court used these cases to show that even if it's horrible language, you still can't just completely restrict it. So Charles Schenck was a board member of the Socialist Party of Philadelphia. He printed and mailed 15,000 flyers to men who were slated to be conscripted and drafted into the First World War. And he urged them to exercise their rights and resist being drafted. Charles Schenck was convicted of violating Section 3 of the Espionage Act, and his defense team said it should have been protected speech. He lost. He lost, lost, lost. It got to the Supreme Court, and let's put that screen back up again, Mr. Producer, because I have to read it. This is the quote from the Supreme Court case. The most stringent protection of free speech would not protect a man in falsely shouting fire in a theater and causing panic. The question in every case is whether the words used are used in such circumstances and are of such a nature as to create a clear and present danger that they will bring about the substantive evils that Congress has a right to prevent. It is a question of proximity and degree. This quote, fire in a crowded theater, clear and present danger. I think they actually made a movie. Isn't there a movie, Clear and Present Danger? The whole part of yelling at fire in a crowded theater, the left loves to talk about that. That's what they use to go after conservatives on social media. Well, it's not protected speech. You're not allowed to yell fire in a crowded theater. This case that I just read to you has been completely revoked. It has been overturned. It no longer is the law of land. The leftists have are clinging to it because they wish it was this way. They wish that the government could just ban whatever speech they want on the basis that it is a clear and present danger. Right? They'd love to say that it's the equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater, but that legal language is no longer the law of the land. So we have to start here, because this is what the left is basically pretending that every other case I'm going to talk about no longer exists. They're stuck in 1919 with the socialists mailing out the pamphlets, and they don't want anything else to go forward. So this next case, we don't have an actual quote for it, but it was Yates v. United States in 1959. And in that case, there were lower Communist Party members who were convicted of advocating the overthrow of the United States. The Supreme Court actually overturned their conviction and said that because they were so low on the hierarchy, they couldn't be charged with organizing a revolt because they didn't have power, and that even their radical speech could be protected because they weren't high enough on the hierarchy to pose a clear and present danger to the country. So Yates v. United States is important because it shows that even here in this clear and present danger BS language, the Supreme Court even admitted then that you can't just apply it to everyone. There has to be some way for them to affect the change. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up image number 5. This is Dennis v. United States. Dennis v. United States, 1951. It's either 51 or 59. In Dennis v. United States, Eugene Dennis was the Communist Party General Secretary, and he was convicted of conspiring to overthrow the United States. Dennis said that he and the party posed no imminent threat to the country, that he was just advocating socialist reforms. But the Supreme Court, leave it up, because I have to read it. Supreme Court upheld the convictions, saying that the gravity of the evil, discounted by its improbability, justifies such invasion of free speech as necessary to avoid the danger. So they looked at his speech and they declared it evil, and it was so evil that that is what makes it dangerous. That was Dennis v. United States in the 50s. The left loves to cling to that one too, saying that conservatives are evil. It's hate speech. This is where their hate speech definition, Joe, comes from. I mean, how many times, Joe, have you heard that?
It's projection. Guys, it's projection. When they're calling up my phone and making threats, when they're sending me text messages and emails and things like that over social platforms, right? When they're saying that God doesn't exist and that we're going to come after you, when they're doing all that stuff, that's they're projecting. They're actually the hate that they're saying that is represented by Christians or conservatives. We're not hateful. They're trying to push us to a breaking point where they say, see, optics, snapshot in time. But they have lived their entire lives in hate. What they do is hateful. The loony left they're hateful, right? And then they try to build that story towards other people that try to align with Democratic Party, right? Because now the Democratic Party is like a series of socialist and Marxist agendas. They've been hijacked, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what we talk about, what they say. I want to see it in action. I want to see what the Democrats do to actually action. So let's talk about truth. They destroy every community that they're in. That people aren't graduating from high school. I mean, literally everything they touch, it turns to crap. Everything. Right? Everything that they touch. Yet they sit over here and they point fingers and they say, well, you need to be more like us because we need to control people through misery. We need to barely feed people, right? And get to the point where we don't feed people enough so they can stay hungry and confused.
Well, let's stay on the topic, though, of free speech, of the issue of what you're saying is so hateful, because that's what we're dealing with. When you mm-hmm. see Facebook and Twitter taking down people because they said you are inciting violence, they aren't actually using the modern definition, which we're going to get to in the next case. They're applying these older definitions. So it's not actually illegal. When people have, there's nothing illegal or unconstitutional about hate speech. You have the right to be hateful. It's a horrible thing, Anyone who's hateful deserves not to be silenced. They deserve to have a spotlight pointed at them so everyone can see what an a-hole they are, right? Sunlight is the best disinfectant. Let people see them for who they are. Don't force them into a cave, into their hole, so that they can get into a bubble and speak to like-minded individuals. But this idea that if the government determines something is evil, that lets them ban it. That's no longer the law of the land. Mr. Producer, put up the next image. Put up, image 6. This is the Supreme Court case that actually is the law of the land. Brandenburg v. Ohio. And I have to explain what this case was about. This was about a KKK leader, Clarence Brandenburg. He was arrested for inciting violence. He was arrested because he condemned black people, he condemned Jewish people, and then he claimed, quote, our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court continues to suppress the white Caucasian race. And he said horrible things. He announced plans for a march on Washington to take place on the 4th of July. And he wanted to expel African Americans to Africa and Jewish Americans to Israel. He was a horrible, horrible person. And they got him on the same laws that they used to get those other people in the cases I just mentioned. But when it reached the Supreme Court decided to overturn his conviction. And they basically took Schenck, they took all those other cases I just talked to you about, and tossed them out. And this is what the Supreme Court said. Quote, the constitutional guarantees of free speech and free press do not permit a state to forbid or prescribe advocacy of the use of force or of law violation, except where such advocacy is directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. Brandenburg v. Ohio, 1969. So it's not good enough, Joe, to say that it's hateful. You have to prove that it's capable of inciting imminent lawless action and likely to incite imminent lawless action, right? You can go out and you can say whatever you want, but unless you actually have the power to start something, they can't just assume that you would have. And this is where Donald Trump's actual speech, what he actually said, is important, Joe, because he didn't incite violence. At no point did he actually tell people to go do what they did. He said, go protest peacefully.
But then they came in and said, we're going to create new truth. Right? I mean, that's really what they did. They came in and said, but here's the real truth. I know what he said, but this is what he meant. So he meant peaceful, but what he said, he actually meant the opposite. Go in there and just raise Cain. Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, the left is the ones, they're the ones that went in and burned cities down, took people's businesses, killed 135 people, 19 police officers gunned down at point blank range, right? They're the ones that have actually instilled fear and thrown firecrackers at people's restaurants and not given people any ability to actually have any peace in their lives or just security, right? They're the ones that actually push people, some 7 million new gun owners in a very short period of time. They're the ones why we have a shortage and people are exercising their Second Amendment right, because they are the thugs and the criminals. And now they're trying to assign that to the Christian conservatives and just conservatives, yeah, or classical liberals, because they're all subject to it, right? They, yeah, burn city blocks down. They burn city blocks down. They've hurt countless people. They've killed kids. They murdered kids for doing a U-turn in the middle of the street, and then no one was arrested. No one was arrested.
Yeah.
A little kid, an 8-year-old girl, died, and not one person was arrested. And when that person stood up and said, this is not what this country's about, they censored that person. They said, oh, wait, you're a black man standing up for your daughter? No, but you're saying the wrong thing. We got to censor you. We got to get rid of you. And when people, a large majority, feel like they've been left behind, they walk to the front and say, listen, President Trump is not telling me to be lawless. President Trump is telling me that American first, and I'm suffering. And by the way, yeah, I have more opportunity. And now they want to censor and stop people from being able to talk?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We played it earlier. Just to hammer the whole thing home, Ms. Brewster, play cut 7 one more time.
We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity, of our election.
You cannot take that language of him saying, go there and peacefully protest, and say that that language was inciting violence. You can't do it. That was his message, right? The Clarence Brandenburg was arrested originally because he was saying very hateful things, right? We need to kick Jews out of the country, kick African-Americans out of the country, topple the government. Hateful things, right? But even the Supreme Court said, yes, it was hateful. But even if it was hateful, there wasn't a possibility for imminent action. You can potentially make the argument that Donald Trump could have incited violence at that moment, but he didn't. He said, go peacefully. You can't just infer your own biases into the space in between the lines in his speech. You can't say, oh, well, he really meant this. He might have said go peacefully, but he actually meant go hogtie all of the members of Congress and beat them to a pulp. You can't do that. And that's what the left has been doing to Trump all his term. Every time he says anything, if he's not specific enough for them, or if he's just vague enough to leave the door open, they infer and they apply their own biases to what he's saying. And make it, well, obviously, when he called the Secretary of State in Georgia and said, find the ballots, he's obviously asking them to steal the election for him. No, he was asking them to make sure only the legal ballots were counted and to get the illegal ballots out of the count, right? You can't just apply your own thinking. And Joe, they do this to you all the time. You mentioned how that one reporter took your statements and made it out to be that you were inciting rebellion or that you were advocating the violent overthrow of the United States.
Yeah, I basically said this. This is what I wrote, and this is what how they interpreted it, right? I said, to our men and women serving in the military, we have a choice. It's fairly clear who the enemy in our country, and that is not conservatives. First, they came for the First Amendment, and then the second will follow. Will you stop the steal? Asking for the people of the United States of America. When I said stop the steal, I meant stealing the constitutional rights, and I clearly said it beforehand, right? Yeah. Stealing the First Amendment, stealing the Second Amendment, right? Yet they took that and said, I'm calling for insurrection. And then underneath that, I said, I blank do solemnly swear, affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God.
That well, read is, the first part. Read the first part again.
I do solemnly swear.
No. The top of your post.
All right. So the top of my post, it said, to our men and women serving in the military, and I actually sent this over to Josh just now too, to our men and women, sorry, hold on a second.
Well, you mentioned that we know who the enemy is.
Right.
And it's not conservatives.
Yeah.
So what they did is they took that language and tried to infer what they think you were meaning.
That's my problem. You can't just infer. You can ask the question. You can call me up and say, what did you think? What did you mean by this?
Yeah.
Right. But you can't.
Who is the enemy?
You can't just slander me and say that I said something I didn't say. Right.
Yeah.
If the weaponized media is coming after our rights and censoring us, who is the enemy to the Constitution in our country? Please tell me.
This is what they did to Trump. Trump would say something just like that. And they say, oh, well, if you look at the full context, he actually meant that the enemy are the Mexicans. And that makes him xenophobic, or the enemy are homosexual Americans, makes him homophobic, right? Islamophobic. They inject their own biases and what they think Trump is saying into otherwise pretty benign language, right? Yeah, the language is a little fiery, but at no point did you actually advocate violence against anyone. The only way, Joe, that they can reach that is by applying something to what you didn't say, right?
Right.
The only way they could pass the Brandenburg test, you have to have an enemy and you have to have the ability to actually incite violence. You don't have an enemy in there. You haven't actually called on anyone to attack anything.
No.
But they're adding that language after the fact.
Right. 100%. They're taking something and they're building a narrative. That's what they did to Trump. That's what they're doing to me. Look, I know what it's like to have this group of just evil people attack you. I know what it's like. I'm under no illusions that me speaking up and having as much intellect as I have and thinking with my brain and doing things to actually stop what's happening in our country, I already know that I'm a threat to their what they're doing. That's why I stepped down. And they said, oh, that you were forced to step down. No, I was forced to step down because, frankly, I want those people to be able to go off and do whatever they want. I was forced to basically relinquish everything that I had so that I could concentrate on talking to the American people about sensibilities. Because I actually believe personally that I could get people to not react and go violently. I think that I can get people to focus on the prize. Keep your head down, eyes forward, and focus on how do we create solutions that stop this evil overflow of our government. I feel like I'm in a position to do that. And I feel there are many people like me. And if I could submit to those people and I could also bring my talents and to that I can actually make a difference. And they know that that's a fact. That's why they attack me for thought leadership. That's why they attack me for having free thought. That's why they attack me for talking about these things, is because it's very difficult to argue with. How are you going to argue with it? You know,
well, it's becoming Orwellian. It's the idea of thought crime, that you thought the wrong thing. Facebook now has started taking down any content that mentions three words that we're not allowed to mention. I'll tell you that it rhymes with drop the peel, but we can't say the three words because Facebook has determined that saying those three words is in itself a call to violence, which it never was. It never was. They're applying violent intentions to things that aren't violent. Like when Donald Trump tweeted out and said, I am not going to the inauguration, Twitter then said that was a call to violence. That doesn't pass the Brandenburg v. Ohio test, right? But he's not going to the inauguration.
And the reason why that they actually support this is really simple. They support it because it creates chaos. It gets people that are sensible people to frankly have anxiety. They want to create anxiety. They want to get you away from peace. Stop it. Just stop. Just stop it. Stop. Stop thinking that someone's going to come save you. Stop it. Start speaking up in your community. Start doing the things that are necessary to get kids to build schools, right? To protect each other in your community. Protect each other. Stand behind the businesses. Stop doing business, right? Take all your money out of tech stocks. All of it. Take it out. Stop. You're like, oh, I need to make money. Their stock's doing well. Take it out. Divest. Stop using their platforms. Do what we did. We were at DLive now. Right? We're on all these other things. We're on Gab. We're on MeWe. We're on Parler. Parler will be back. They'll be back.
Hopefully.
They'll be down for a week, and then they'll be back. Because there are hundreds of 100 millionaires and billionaires, right, that are coming out right now saying, I'll fund that. I promise you that's what's happening. I know, because that's what the resistance really looks like, to get back to a sensibility in our country. I'm a voice. I'm standing up. We're a voice, Max. We're standing up. We're talking about this, but then we're doing. Stop buying into the hype. Stop buying into President Trump signed the Insurrection Act, right? Whatever happens, happens. That's, we can't control it. We can pray and we can do action, action, action. We can do it by volunteering our time, sacrificing there, or volunteering funds to something that can actually get us to where we need to be. Anything that you do beyond that, right, is living your life in a place where we call it hopium. Hopium.
Yeah.
That's like opium, but it's hopium. You live in hope, right? The road of good intention, but the inability to act, is built in hopium. It's not built in what we're doing right now. It's not built in it.
Put up my screen. This is Twitter's stock over just the past 5 days. And you can't really see it, but it's pretty flat behind Joe's head. It went all the way from up here at $54 to now it's sitting just below $47. That's a massive, massive loss.
Yeah, and it's not massive. A massive is if we can actually have conversations with people where everyone gets on their social network and said, I have divested from Google, Facebook, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I've divested from them. And they say
13%. Their valuation has lost 13%. That is billions. That's well over 5 billion. I think it's closer to 10 billion.
Hold on. I got to say this. So this is a comment. Joe, there isn't anything wrong, though, with having hope and faith, at least thinking there's someone in Congress that will do right by everyone. Dina, there are people in Congress that are doing right by anyone. Jim Jordan is standing up, right? He's standing up. There are people that are doing great things. The press release, one word, Scott Perry. No, there's people standing up. There was an objection yesterday to the Articles, the 25th Amendment. That happened yesterday. There are people standing up. There is hope. Don't live your life in the action of others. Live your life in your own action. Let me say that again. Don't live your life in the action of others. Live your life in your own action. How you sacrifice, what you give, what you actually hold on to, what you do. And if you can't pray, right? That's the first step. Prayer is number one. It's foundational. You can have no shirt on your back, no food, no anything else. And prayer is something that no one can take away from you. They can't take it away from you. And they can't take away your voice. They can't take away your ability to speak out there about the things that are going on. So I'm telling you right now, nothing wrong with hope. Faith and action. Faith and action. And some of the easy action, prayer. Prayer.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah. So Mr. Bruce put it on my screen. This is Facebook 5 days. Facebook's coming from a high of, what's that? 269, just under 270.
Yep.
They are now hanging at 250.82.
Yeah.
So that constitutes a loss of 6.6%.
Listen, how many people out there are listening to this or will listen to this or are your friends or your family that are saying, I can't sell now. Now it's down. I can't sell now. Greed is what led us to this place. And greed is the one thing that'll destroy everything that we do in order to support. Like I walked away. I literally walked away from my company. I walked away from it. I'm no longer the CEO. I'm jobless. Other than this.
Well, we don't know what anyone's financial situation would be.
Hold on a second. I'm not
talking
about
the money. Don't sell low if you need the money.
No.
But if you can take the hit, it's a great way to make a stand.
Listen to me. Everyone listen to me, right? If you don't divest from it, you're giving them the opportunity to build on you. They are building the foundations, their blocks on your back. I don't care if the stock goes up and you lose money with it. I don't. I'm sorry. I'm challenging you now. I'm not gonna agree with Max. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to stand for what's right or don't stand. Don't pick your battles and say, I can stay in there in the stock and root against them. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, come on. We want to build our communities based on value, based on morals, based on an ethical standard. We want to teach our kids about what's right or wrong. And I'm sorry if it costs you money. It's costing me a lot. No income. They could take that away from me. Just think about that. I mean, you want to sit here and say that, you know, Joe, you can afford it. Can I? How do you know I can afford it? Oh, because you're the CEO. Maybe. But I still have to spend money to live. And I still have to take the sacrifices that are in front of me. And I still have to speak to you every day. And I still have to have people that guard me that I have to pay for. I have to do a lot of different things. And what I'm asking you to do is divest and to talk to other people about divesting and say, listen, we don't have a voice right now because the balance of power has been handed over to big tech. So if you don't divest and you stay in those stocks, you are actually contributing to it. I'm sorry. And you could stay in it. I'm not going to judge you. I accept you where you are, not where I want you to be. It's okay. But just make the decision that that's not a part of the hill you're willing to die on. That's fine. But just know what you're doing, right? And if Parler went public tomorrow, right, people would want to invest in that, right? And hopefully it'd stand for free speech. And hopefully it would continue to have the same moral fiber that exists. See, I walked away from massive amounts of recognition. Massive. And I'm just one guy. But there are lots of people like me. Dan Bongino done the same thing. Right? There's a lot of people out there that have walked away from things and take huge sacrifices. And I'm just asking people to just stand by their beliefs. I'm asking people not to stand up there and die on the hill, but to make a sacrifice. I'm sorry, I'm asking that. And I'm not going to back down from that. I'm just not.
And there's plenty of people. I mean, I sold a couple stocks. I had some Amazon. I had some Google. I sold it. I bought lower than it is now. So I still made money. That's fine. If I was in a stock, if I bought a stock last week and I was set to lose hundreds of dollars today, I wouldn't divest it because the only thing that would really accomplish other than making that point and taking a stand is me losing the money that I put in last week. I mean, it'll eventually go up unless this puts Facebook out of business. Chances are they're going to get back their 6.6%, right? Chances are eventually Twitter will get back their 12%. So if you have the means, definitely divest. But if for whatever reason you happen to buy last week and you stand to lose thousands of dollars, I wouldn't recommend it. But then again, neither Joe nor I are financial professionals. This is where we have to make that advice. We have to say that we are not your stockbroker. Make sure that you seek qualified advice. But personally, we both divested. So if you're in that position, it's a very good thing to do. And the left does this with Israel all the time. They want complete divestment from Israel. I mean, the other side of that coin is that, yeah, you divest, but whenever you sell, someone else is buying, right? So, yeah, it's nice to keep your hands clean, but in the end, someone's still going to hold that stock. So just make sure that if you're going to do it,
Yeah. If I promise you this, if those 80 million plus people and that 75 million people that voted, right, that voted for President Trump, if those 75 million people divested from these companies, their stock would literally plummet. It would go from 46 to 4. People, I'm telling you, we don't have power.
Divestment.
It could go, if they divest, no, that's 10%. So these are people saying, don't wait. Everyone at the same time, just go out there and divest from the stock. Simple. It's simple. And you'd say, well,
everything we see, the reason it's down 12% is every day there are people willing to sell it for a little less than what it's going for at the market right now.
Right.
So people want to get rid of it.
Well, because people are actually at that place where they're like, okay, I recognize that I've got to get, I got to get off this, right? I can't stomach it anymore. I can't stomach what they're doing to people. They're persecuting people. Like I get calls every day for every one call I get or email or text that says, I hate you. And I want to, you know, murder you or any of the other crazy stuff. Like I want to make you a paraplegic. All from whatever one that I get of that, I get 50 of them that are like, Joe, we stand with you. Now hurry up and get that IPO stuff done.
Yeah. So I've seen a couple people in the comment section saying that, that they're canceling their Amazon Prime.
I did.
Obviously, if you're going to do it, do it. I'm not doing that because I've left a lot of reviews over the years. I've asked a lot of questions on products. What I'm going to do is I'm going to change my username to something like Donald Trump won or it was rigged or something like that.
All you have to do is stop buying. Just stop buying.
Well, but just so that anytime someone comes across one of the many reviews that I've left, instead of seeing Max McGuire, they'll see something else like Donald Trump is the real winner. Everyone else is lying to you. Something like that, right? And honestly, if you use Amazon Prime, think twice about it, right? Especially when it comes up for renewal, right? Because most people pay by the year. Some people can pay by the month. Most people pay by the year. So if you use it, like I could never cancel Amazon Prime right now because my son watches Noggin. That's all he does. He watches the Nickelodeon stuff. I can't explain to Max Jr. that he doesn't get Paw Patrol because I'm taking a stand against a publicly traded company. You won't understand that. He'll just scream Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol. And he'll start singing the song. No, this is the thing. If I do that, he'll kill me. He doesn't even know what that means yet, but he will. Right. So do whatever you can do, right? Don't do anything that's going to cause you pain, cause you any kind of financial ruin, but take the stand that you can make. I'm in for the year and my son watches Noggin. I can't cancel that. I'm sorry if people think that makes me a coward. My son needs to watch Nickelodeon. He's 2.5, almost 3. He has to. Oh, yeah. Kim says I'm part of the problem. I'm not part of the problem. My son needs to watch Nickelodeon. Anyone is welcome to write a letter to me, an email, and I will read the email to my son and explain that's why he no longer gets to watch Paw Patrol. And if he says I understand, go for it, we'll do it. But until that... he's getting his Paw Patrol.
And people, listen, I think the other side is that we have to understand that if you wait too long, by the way, if you wait too long to actually put your – if you wait too long to actually sell the stock and divest, other people are going to do it too. This is a movement that's happening. People are divesting from this, right? They're down 10%. I can tell you this. My gut tells me that they'll be down 30, 40, 50% here over the next month and a half. As those 75 million people realize that they weren't kidding. They're going to try and persecute and come after us. They're going to try and do the things that they can to hurt people who believe in God and support the right of the rule of law. They're going to come after you, and they're going to use a truth that is not real. See, good is bad, right is wrong, right? They've turned it all on its head now, right? That they'd rather set up heroin stations where you can actually I'll just say this. There's a certain person that I'm getting sued by. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to do that. I was literally sent information about that person.
Don't talk about this.
I didn't say the person. I didn't say the person that would blow
everyone
your mind.
Everyone knows who you're talking about. Right. Everyone knows what you're talking about.
I'm glad they do. It would blow your mind. Yeah.
And to the people saying in the comment section, I need to get uncomfortable. If you want to know what uncomfortable feels like, we'll broadcast tomorrow and I'll turn off Paw Patrol and my son will be banging on the door screaming and you'll all get to hear it. We'll try it tomorrow.
Yeah. Listen, we have got to get to the place where we honor the things in our community that mean something. We don't allow this. We reject it. We have to, as a society, reject what they're putting in front of us as fact. We have to reject it, and we have to do so openly, and we have to do so with courage, and we have to be able to say, nope, that's not right. And there are so many people that are just afraid. I talked to somebody on the phone yesterday, and I'm like, listen, send me the information. I'll take care of it. Can you take my name off of it? Can you make sure? Because I'm really afraid, and they're going to come after me. And, you know, there's no, they actually want to persecute and kill Christians and kill conservatives. These are people that are, I mean, they're afraid, because that's the type of terrorism that the left represents. It's terrorism. You guys don't understand. They are literally projecting what they're doing on people onto another group of people. It's terrorism. It's terrorism. It's terrorism.
And the last thing I'll say, people saying that I need to cancel it. My Amazon Prime renewed for a year last month. So the only thing that actually I accomplished out of that is I just sent them the $100-some-odd for nothing, and my son's just angry, right? So I probably won't re-up the next time it comes up, but just they're not going to care if I cancel it. They still keep my money. They're not going to prorate it back to me. Paw Patrol. Paw Patrol is what keeps this house not descending into complete and total chaos. Mr. Producer, put up my screen. This was what it looked like yesterday for the stocks. Twitter, Facebook, Apple, Google, Amazon. I believe that Google is up, Amazon's up today, but the other ones were down the first day of trading after news broke that they had banned Donald Trump.
Amazon is only, by the way, up because Amazon is doing a buyback of stocks. They're buying back their own stocks. That's why they're up.
The other side of this is still divest. If you are a shareholder in this. Yeah. You can divest, but if you're a shareholder, you actually do have rights within the company, and you probably don't own enough shares to actually have a controlling interest in the company. But there is value in having a say and being able to participate in meetings and being able to vote, right? So that's the other side of this. Yeah, divest, divest, divest. But Joe, you sit on boards of leftist companies, leftist organizations.
Several.
You sit on those boards to be able to try and lean them towards the right, or at least towards the middle.
No, I sit on those boards to give them some sensibilities to some of the things that get attached to them as an organization. And then I can walk in and say, hey, have you thought about this? So I accept them where they are. I mean, some of the people on the board, I don't agree maybe with some of their ideologies, right? But I give them two things. One, I give them my faith. I get to talk to them about my faith in Jesus Christ, number one. And number two, I get to accept them where they are, and I get to love on them while serving the community that needs it the most, right?
The point is if you left and you said, I don't like what the organization is doing, I'm just going to divest in it, you wouldn't be there to provide that moderating influence.
Right.
So that's the other side of the coin.
But I mean, I'll just use it as an example, right? And I just want to use this as a simple example that I think is important. When one of the companies that I sit on the board, one of the nonprofits where I sit on the board, I've done many things, right? They were getting broken into by Antifa and by drug dealers and everything else that were threatening them. They would come in and basically say, we're going to come back and shoot you, to the executive director. I mean, these are real things that happened in a nonprofit that was serving the refugee community. And so, they called me and said, hey, listen, hey, Joe, here's what's happening. I stopped what I was doing and I went there and I called my team here and I was like, get down there right now. I want you to fix it. And then I hired security to be there 24 hours a day, literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until I could get all the security in place. Then I put up a large amount of money to make sure the whole place was secure, right? Every single time for the last, I think I've served on that board for 5 or 6 years, that they've needed help, I've stepped in. When they needed financial help, when they needed a CFO help, when they needed any asset or resource, I've given them those resources, right? So because that's who I am, because I love serving, I love service. I love doing for others when I have the opportunity. I've been blessed with the opportunity to do that. I love doing it, right? So they come to me over this post that I sent to you, and I sent it over to you, Josh. But when I walk into this situation and we're having a conversation about when we're having a conversation about you know, right or wrong, or what you support or what you don't support, and we start seeing what the left is doing and how they're persecuting me, I can't help but look at what I did versus what they say that I'm doing, right? I mean, the fact that they put up this post and said, oh, he's calling for, you know, military coup. And these are media personalities that have 60,000 followers that he's trying to influence and say, hey, look, at this is a guy, he's a militiaman. Can't call me a bigot, can't call me a racist, can't call me, you know, a homophobe, can't call me those things, because they know that, number one, it can't stick, right? Because it's not true, right? Because of the history of my character. So now they just are trying to just open holes and create things to hurt me, right? Yet everything that I've done has been to help them. Now I'm getting kicked and punched and everything else in the middle of it, trying to help people that are the most disadvantaged in our community. It's sickening. It's sickening to me. Lost a little of my thought there.
Yeah. So we were going to be talking, but we did talk about the constitutional. There's only so much we can really say about the constitutional argument behind impeachment. There is none. We kind of started talking about divestment, which is fine. It just naturally went that way. But what's clear is that as much as they're pushing back on conservatives, right? I mean, Twitter just lost, by my calculation, upwards of $10 billion of their valuation over banning the president. And yes, that's some of the pushback they're getting, but it's also the president was the most featured user on Twitter, right? That's what drove page views. And they literally bit their own nose to spite their face. They banned him, and now they're going to have less ad revenue. So it's not just people divesting. It's the people looking at it and saying, wow, you just literally hurt your own business to make a political point. You're probably not going to have as much ad revenue this year. And that's also contributing to it. So yeah, everyone divest in whatever way that you can. And that's what I've been saying all along. Do what you are comfortable with. Do what you think is right. And if you like a service and you don't want to divest in it, don't divest in it. Fight in other ways, right? For whatever reason, this conversation has kind of turned into, if you don't divest, then you're a chicken or you're an idiot or whatever. It's not.
You didn't have to say anything. You opened it up to yourself, just so you know.
Well, I explained an anecdote, and the comments section have all started micromanaging and trying to infer about my parenting style.
Oh yeah. Water off a duck's back. They can have an opinion too. Just water off a duck's back. Man, I can't even imagine if people attacked you the way they attacked me. just relax. Everyone's fine. Everybody loves you, Max. Just relax, relax, relax. You can have a different opinion.
Everyone has a different opinion. It's just, I'm scrolling while you were just talking. I've been scrolling through. I'm just saying there have been some very disappointing things that people have posted. If you've done it, I
Max
just hope
McGuire,
that you can just think
listen to me. What have they said about me? They called me a militia member, and I'm like, what? They've said bad things about me. Relax, everyone. Huh? Listen. What's the worst they can do to you? Kill you? Take away your birthday? Start eating you? I mean, really. If you believe in God, then you have to still follow that path. You have to follow the path. You have to pray first, build your life based on faith, and the second of which is action. You can't be concerned about people that are going to hurt your reputation.
Oh, I'm not. Right. It's just very strange.
And they're just disagreeing with you. They're just disagreeing with you. They're not trying to hurt your reputation either. I'm talking about the left. They're not. Stop. Stop. Yeah. Relax. See, people are saying they love you. Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. I want you to shower me with the praise.
Yeah.
I put on
affirmation. We got snowflakey over here. He's being affected by the left.
Hey guys,
left.
If we're heaping praise, I could use. I mean,
all right, Joshy.
I would just say that
Joshy, you know, we love you, brother. Everybody, give Joshy some.
There were a couple moments there where you had fat fingers. I'm not ready to do that yet.
He gave me a hot mic.
Hold on.
I had people calling me saying, Joe, hot mic. Hey, you know what? You did screw up on the hot mic. You have to go back and fix
it. I know I screwed up on that one, man. Of course you all know. You know how hard it is to deal with you guys on a daily basis? I've either got Max, or I've got Joe, or I've got someone coming into the office yelling at me. You guys are the hardest. I'm out.
This is actually really good. Oh wait, no, don't slam.
Carl just wrote on Facebook that the wifey poo loves Josh's voice. Have her listen to that part of Josh's voice. No, but we love Josh. We love Josh. Josh is great too.
I came back.
He came back because he loves us. That's right. Because
That'll be the part that we make it today.
What movie is that from? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Come on, tell me what it is. Have a little fun now. It's falling down a little bit. We're devolving.
People are starting to divest from our show, so it's probably good for us to wrap it up for the day. this is a second show of our 2-hour format. If you like us going 2 hours, make sure you leave a comment section. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and now also on DLive. What do we get today? We got 841.5 lemons. So I promise that I will figure out what lemons are and realize what that means. But if you have lemons to give, I guess we have a basket to put them in. So make sure you check out DLive if you want to divest from Facebook and YouTube as well. If you like the podcast, make sure that you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast too. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, all different places, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Podbean. Check out the links in the description. Make sure you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast. We are on Parler. We'll be there once we're back up at Conservative Daily. We're also on Rumble, rumble.com/user/Conservative Daily. Make sure you check that out too. It takes a little while to get the videos up there, but we do put them up. And lastly, we do have a link to join our email newsletter. If you text the word freedom, that's freedom with an R, not as Kamala Harris says, freedom. Freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, to 89517. You'll receive a text alert when we go live. And as I said, link in the description if you want to join our email list. And if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, our call-in number 888-441-1121. If you want to call in, we do listen to the messages. And we're going to start adding more of those messages to the show as we go into this 2-hour format. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Max McGuire.
And I'm Joe Altman.
And remember, everyone, that the fight to take back our country clearly is not over, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.